From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. About a week and a half after a statewide strike, teachers in West Virginia may be heading back to school. West Virginian lawmakers met on Tuesday morning, and both the Assembly and the Senate agreed to a 5% pay raise for all state workers, including teachers. West Virginia teachers have had the 48th worst pay in the United States, and their illegal strike drew national attention. Teachers walked out on February 22nd after Governor Jim Justice signed a 2% pay raise. They are also demanding relief from rising health insurance costs. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma, where teachers struggle with even lower salaries, a strike could be looming as well. There are reports emerging, particularly from Tulsa, of teachers wanting to strike for better pay. My guest is Rick Ayers. He is an associate professor of education at the University of San Francisco in the Urban Education and Social Justice cohort and USF coordinator of the San Francisco Teacher Residency. He is the author of An Empty Seat in Class, Teaching and Learning After the Death of a Student, Great Books for High School Kids, and Teaching the Taboo, Courage and Imagination in the Classroom. His new book, co-authored with William Ayers and Crystal Laura, is called You Can't Fire the Bad Ones and 18 Other Myths about teachers, teachers' unions, and public education. Welcome to the program, Rick.
Good morning.
How historic has the West Virginia strike been? As of now, as you and I are speaking, the pay raise was just passed. It's very likely by the time people hear and watch this, the teachers will be back in the classroom. But these 9 or 10 days that they were on strike, how historic is it?
It's very important. You know, I think teachers' unions and nurses' unions are two of the last large unions that are left after these decades of assault on trade unions. And the teachers in Chicago led the way with a very important strike some years ago that Karen Lewis led that really paved the way for an approach to teacher organizing that was really community-centered and student-centered. This one in West Virginia is described as illegal. But we have to remember that all the strikes in the 1930s were illegal. Legal just means they're within some parameters set up by the government. But when people go on strike, they make the law.
And so, and the word illegal simply means that there are specific places in one's union contract that stipulate when it's okay to strike and when it's not okay to strike. So what was it about this particular strike, as far as you know, that made it illegal? That the governor signed a 2% pay raise and basically teachers said they weren't having it, so they voted to strike. So what made it illegal?
Well, in many states, and this is true in West Virginia, there are laws against public servants or people who are in public jobs to go on strike is illegal. And basically, they're supposed to negotiate and negotiate and negotiate, but there was really nothing moving on the side of management or the state. And so they flexed their muscles because in the end, you can say whatever you want about the law, but if people won't go to work, then you've got a problem.
Now, with West Virginia, I mean, you mentioned Chicago and the historic strike some years ago, but in West Virginia, we're talking about the entire state, not a city, but the entire state. Public schools in the entire state were not functioning. I don't remember the last time that happened in the U.S.
Well, you know, I think this is just the beginning of a number of confrontations that are going to happen. What's happened in many states, including West Virginia, and it's happening on the federal level, is you get these ultra-conservative governments who cut down and cut down on taxes and cut back on taxes so that they have no money in the treasury. And then they turn around and say, oh my goodness, we can't really fund these things. We have no money. And that's actually the end game in the federal tax bill, which is everyone's saying, what are they thinking? We're going to have a big deficit. They don't plan to. They just plan to cut public services of every sort. This is what happened in West Virginia. They don't have the money to pay this because they have cut down on taxes when they should be increasing them. So this is a difficult thing to carry out a strike on, because you're demanding that the state come up with funds, not just that they give you money that they have sitting around. So this is a little complicated, but what can we do? As teachers, we have to push back and put the problem in their lap rather than in ours.
And incidentally, over the weekend, the state Senate passed, well, they thought they were passing a 4% raise. The state Senate, which is more dominated by conservative Republicans, thought they were passing a 4% raise. Turned out it was 5%, which is what the teachers, it seems, might have been willing to settle for. And then they turned around and said, well, they meant to pass 4%. I don't know what really happened, but the teachers stayed firm. They didn't give in to 4%. This is critical because, you know, when you have a statewide strike like this, it shows, doesn't it show workers the power they have in collective organizing?
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is why this is such an important moment. And you have to remember, I try to worry and think about the fundamental issues of what kind of education are our children doing? Getting, what do they need? What kind of world are we building? And we don't just want an education that prepares students to be small cogs in a big corporate machine. We want them to have an expansive, critical learning education where they can imagine the kind of future, the kind of world they want to be in. So a strike is not just for money. It's actually for giving us more of an opportunity to think deeply about what education is for. Because after all, good teaching conditions, conditions where teachers are well rested, able to reflect, able to work with students, are good working conditions, are good learning conditions. Mm-hmm. So I actually would also say, this may be a leap, but I think the whole Parkland uprising, the youth movement, the demonstrations coming up on March 14th, they also represent a kind of massive pushback of a level we haven't seen before in the area of education. So a statewide strike, possibly another statewide strike, student walkouts, all of these things are people pushing back. There's only so far you can push people, and eventually there will be a reaction. You know that in West Virginia, many, many, possibly the majority of teachers hold a second job.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. The conditions of their work is terrible. They get paid so little that most of them have second jobs, and most of them are still expected to, because the schools aren't properly funded as a whole. Most of them are still expected to pay for supplies out of their pockets, right?
Well, and teachers do, because they're so close to the students and they see what they need. Yeah. They pay for supplies. They buy food for their students. They do all these things. But, you know, it's one of those things that is done, especially in the caring professions, often traditionally women's professions, which is, oh, you care so much. We know you're going to sacrifice and do this because, you know, you're totally selfless. And this is kind of a cruel joke while, you know, rich white men are lining their pockets and not turning over anything.
Now, in West Virginia, the teachers seemed to have a very strong moral authority. And I want to ask you about that, because really the only choice that the state had was to call the National Guard on them, right? I mean, if the teachers stood firm, as they have done, till they got their just 5% pay raise, which is also extremely modest if they're the 48th worst paid teachers in the country. So they asked for an extremely modest pay raise, and the state had no choice but to give it to them or call in the National Guard, which that would have been really interesting to see.
Well, we may see those kind. This is, you know, yeah. Ultimately, when these kind of confrontations move from, you know, just sort of Facebook posts and debate to actual struggle about power, that is one of the recourses of the state. But you have to remember, West Virginia, you know, some of the leaders of the public sector workers themselves come from families that are UMWA, United Mine Workers of America, and they have a long history of knowing how to fight. I don't know if you've seen Harlan County, which is a great documentary about a strike in West Virginia. And they're not afraid of that. So you can't really bluff them with that.
What about Oklahoma? What's really interesting in Oklahoma is that, of course, it's coming right around the West Virginia strike. I'm wondering, first of all, if you think that they're inspired by seeing what West Virginia teachers have achieved. And also, what do you make of the fact that the Tulsa School District actually publicly on Twitter expressed support for their teachers striking because the district sees how terribly teachers are paid?
Well, that is interesting. I certainly think you're seeing Oklahoma follow the lead of West Virginia, and I believe you'll see other states too. I mean, the situation for teachers is ridiculous. And do you know that 50% of young, motivated, on fire teachers who go into the career leave within 5 years? So we're just burning out teachers, burning through them. I think that the reason the district would do that is very often the teachers are striking against the district, and the district is saying, the money's not there. The state's not giving us money. So the district and the teachers in some way, the district leadership and teachers on some level have a common interest. They need the state to step up and create a tax base that supports public institutions. I mean, from the ultra-right that we're living under, the destruction of the public space, the destruction of the commons, the commodification of everything, including education, is the project. And you will see, and we do see, pushback in many different spheres.
What is the intersection, if any, and I'm assuming there is, between this sort of working class base of teachers in states like West Virginia and Oklahoma and Donald Trump's base? Donald Trump has been able to and was able to rally economic disaffection. You know, the fact that Wall Street's gains have not trickled down to the rest of Americans, and promise, you know, through his bizarre brand of populism, promise to improve the lives of working class Americans. And I'm wondering if people among those teachers in West Virginia, those teachers in Oklahoma, are let down by the GOP and Trump?
And that's an interesting question. I have kind of a different view on it, and I'm not sure what's right, but there's data on every side of this. But it seems to me that there's a sort of a standing myth that there's the unemployed miner, the unemployed steel worker, the poor white guy who used to have a decent union job, who's got beef with the system, who voted for Trump. I think if you look at the data, it's actually different than that. There are some folks like that and some rural sort of enthusiasm for Trump as sort of a rebel campaign. But I think it was not primarily economic. It was always straight up racist. It was just a straight racist campaign. And there's a lot of racism in America, and certainly in West Virginia and Oklahoma. I think it was a fear of foreigners, a fear of immigration, a recognition that the population is going to shift. Eventually, white people are going to be in the minority. And there's a kind of terror that people of color may treat us somewhat the way we've treated them. And so I think it was more a racial, a racist campaign. As far as teachers, the other thing that the data shows is that people have college degrees pretty much did not support Trump. So certainly teachers, even in these states which have a reputation for being conservative, may have had more sense. But to go back to your thesis, I'm sure it is also true that the people who bought the economic snake oil are going to be disappointed. Yeah. Certainly with the trade shenanigans he's doing, but also with kind of everything else he's promised.
Now, there was also the health insurance issue. Health insurance costs are rising, and that's the one sticking point that is not yet clear if West Virginia teachers are going to be going back to work this week. Most likely they are, and the governor has promised a state task force to examine the issue. But of course, all of this is happening because we do not have a single-payer healthcare system in the United States. So many labor struggles today are based on the rising costs of healthcare. And just like you were saying earlier, of course, Republicans have defunded government so that they can say we can't afford single payer, right?
Right. Right. And actually, I don't know why people feel okay giving, you know, $500 a month to a private health care organization and not giving that $500 a month to a general government-run health program. Somehow, if you give it to a private guy, it feels better for some people. But yeah, the health crisis is terrible. And by the way, in West Virginia, they have a terrible opioid crisis. So they also have been trying to direct some money for that. There had been some rumor that the legislature was trying to settle this teacher strike by taking money away from health care and opioid care. So that would be ridiculous. So, you know, they set people against each other. And really, obviously, in the end, the answer is we're, you know, the richest country in the world, and we just need to distribute wealth in a different way. Add to that homelessness. Homelessness is this gigantic and growing thing, and it's an embarrassment to the city fathers, I will say, but it's something that comes along with this kind of division between rich and poor.
And the other aspect of this that I think is also extremely critical to mention is that when teachers win, doesn't everybody benefit? I mean, even in, especially in West Virginia, the state Senate and Assembly have passed a 5% pay raise for all statewide workers, including teachers. And so all state workers have won in West Virginia, which is quite remarkable. That extra money doesn't just directly benefit the teachers and those state workers. It ripples out into the economy as a whole, will be a sort of stimulus for the economy. And of course, when teachers have a little bit more financial security, they can function better as teachers, which benefits students. All of these things are never accounted for. Those effects are never accounted for when lawmakers are simply counting dollars and cents in these conversations.
Yeah, I think the lawmakers think of these things like their understanding of economics is how they would run a corner store, but they have no understanding of kind of the multiplier effect, which is what you're describing.
Yeah.
As you know, the biggest job creators are not paying the rich guy more. Job creators are customers, and if you create more customers, and of course, underpaid teachers who get a raise are immediately going to have to go out and spend it. They have expenses. That stimulates the economy. So, you know, it's well known that these kind of measures will improve the economy. And as you call it, ripple effect or the multiplier effect goes out there. And the other point that you raise, and I think we have to get much stronger on arguing this, is the conditions for students, the conditions for education, where students can have a thriving, engaged, enjoyable educational experience, where the bathrooms have toilet paper, but not only that, where they're able to, you know, do a physics experiment in an actual physics lab. All of these things are quality of life. Remember, these children endure 12 years of deadly boring school when they're in a situation of being underfunded. And that's just cruelty. So it's not just children preparing for the future, but it's like, this is their lives now. And we need to help enrich their lives just as a ethical, a matter of social ethics.
Rick, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with the book.
Very good talking to you. Thank you.
Rick Ayers is Associate Professor of Education at the University of San Francisco in the Urban Education and Social Justice Cohort, and his new book, co-authored with William Ayers and Crystal Laura, is called You Can't Fire the Bad Ones, and 18 Other Myths About Teachers, Teachers Unions, and Public Education. We've been discussing the teacher strike in West Virginia and a potential strike looming in Oklahoma. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.